In the gospel reading today, our Lord asks an interesting question. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, stand up and walk? It's interesting because it's actually easier to say, stand up and walk. The problem is that we can see when somebody is a paralytic, that they can't walk. And when we see that the person is healed, just as all these people did, they were seized with astonishment and they glorified God, were filled with fear, saying, we have seen wonderful things today. And yet, not even an hour ago, there was a line of people halfway down the wall. And they all came into confession. And a miracle far greater than the one that happened to this paralyzed man took place. And as St. Augustine tells us, it takes more divine power to forgive one venial sin than it took to create the entire world. Now that's not putting any kind of tax on God, because his power is infinite, so to say it took more doesn't mean a thing. But it's to put it in context for us. It actually was easier to say, stand up and walk, and people are awed and awed and astounded by the miracle that happened, and rightly so. And yet when Jesus spoke about the forgiveness of sin and asked the question about that, they thought it was more difficult to say, stand up and walk, because they couldn't see sin being forgiven. They could see someone standing up and walking. So we have to recognize what's going on. Because, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes are saying, who can forgive sin but God alone? No one. Only God can forgive sin. You say, well, then shouldn't I just lie on my bed and talk to God? No. Because God has given the authority for the forgiveness of sin to his church, so that we would know that our sins are forgiven. Just as they could see this man who was paralyzed getting up and walking, to actually hear the words that your sins are forgiven you, go in peace. To hear the words of absolution, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is critical for us. Because you can lie on your bed all day long and think about you wanting your sins forgiven, and God in his mercy might even do so. But how do you know? What evidence do you have? You have none. You can hope that your sins are forgiven, but you have no guarantee that they are. When you walk out of the confessional, you have a guarantee. You heard the words of absolution. You heard that your sins are forgiven and you can go in peace. What a beautiful gift that God has given to his church. It is the Lord and he alone who can forgive, but he has made clear that there are some conditions to that. Obviously, we need to be repentant. And we need to be humble and confess our sins. And when we do that, when we bring our sins to God, he removes them. When he forgives your sins, remember, that's what happens. He literally removes the sins from your soul and destroys them. If you're lying on your bed asking for mercy, which is a good thing to do, your sins aren't removed from your soul. There's a huge difference. If you don't confess your sins and they're not absolved, while God obviously can work in extraordinary ways and he can forgive people's sins however he chooses, the ordinary way is confession. And if that's not what happens, then we're going to have to stand before him one day with all those sins on our soul. And we're going to have to deal with that. And if we say, but I didn't want to confess my sins to a man because a man doesn't have ability to forgive sin. Well, Jesus was the Son of Man. He is also God. And he alone has the ability to forgive sin. And he has made clear what needs to happen for our sins to be forgiven. And nowhere did he say, lie on your bed and think about it. That's not the condition for the forgiveness of sin. And if we look at him and say, but I just wanted to go straight to you, it's a good thing. Except he gave the authority to forgive sin to his church. He gave that authority to his apostles who pass it on to their successors. So if we want to go straight to Jesus, we have to do it the way that he himself set it up. And he set it up because we're human. There isn't anything that we can do in a relational way by lying on our bed and thinking about it. We speak and we hear. We have to communicate. And that's exactly what he's done. He's given us a means to be able to actually confess our sins, which, by the way, 2,000 years later, psychologists have figured out this is actually a human necessity. This isn't just a good idea. This isn't just a religious thing. This is a human necessity to confess your sins to somebody. But not just to actually tell somebody what you've done, but to hear that you're forgiven, to hear that you're still acceptable, to hear that you're still loved. That's necessary for us. Jesus created our soul. The word psychology means the study of the soul. He knows what our soul needs. He knows that we needed to confess our sins, and he knows that we need to hear that our sins are forgiven. So as I like to point out in class, why is it that we don't lie on our bed and think how much we would like our baby to be baptized? Why don't we just lie on our bed and think about how much we want to be married? Doesn't work. Until you actually say the words of the vows, you're not married. Until there's actually the word spoken and the water poured over the child, they're not baptized. Lying on your bed thinking about it's a wonderful thing. You want it to be done. Now you need to act on it. And so thinking about your sins, yeah, it's a good thing to do. Examine your conscience. Ponder what's going on the inside. But then you need to act upon it. We need to get down on our knees and we need to say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And the beautiful thing then is that our sins are forgiven. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. We would marvel if somebody were lying here in front of us, paralyzed, and we saw that person get up and walk away. We should be marveling infinitely more that God, in his mercy, has literally taken our sins off of our souls and destroyed them, never, ever to be heard of again. They're gone. Why would we not want to do this? Because we're scared? Because we're embarrassed? No. This is the mercy seat of God. This is where we can come to have what is a necessity for human beings to be taken care of. So don't let fear keep you away. Don't let embarrassment keep you away. Again, as I like to point out in class, any priest that has been ordained 6 months or longer has heard just about everything that there is to hear. Somebody did come up with something a couple of years ago. Prior to that, it had been probably 15 to 20 years before I had heard anything that I hadn't heard before. So you're not going to shock the priest. I'm sure whatever it is that you're doing, he's probably heard dozens of times. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to judge you. You already judged yourself or you wouldn't be there. So he doesn't have to make a judgment about you. The only judgment he has to make is whether you're sorry for your sin. So just be humble. Open your heart to be able to receive the mercy of God. Don't let fear, don't let pride and embarrassment keep you away. If there is something that is on your soul between you and God, get rid of it. If it's a mortal sin, you can't go to heaven. Is it really worth, think about it. 30 seconds of humility to get down on my knees and say I did this or that or the other thing, or eternity in hell? Which is more difficult? It's pretty obvious. Pray for the grace to be humble. Pray for the grace to be able to confess your sins and know that God wants you there infinitely more than you want it. And he is there to love you. He is there to forgive you, not to condemn you. That's his desire, that our sins would be forgiven, our souls would be filled with his grace, so that we can live in his divine life. What a beautiful gift. And to think that even if there's a venial sin, that takes more of God's power to forgive than to create the entire world. God is not stingy. He's willing to do whatever it is going to take to forgive your sins. Just look at the cross. He's already proven that. So don't worry that God's going to be angry or whatever. He's not. God is there in his mercy and in his charity, specifically for you. So allow him to show his divine power. As it said, the power the Spirit was on Jesus to heal. And they watched wonderful things happen. A paralyzed man stood up and walked. The power of Jesus is at work. And he wants you to be healed spiritually. Let him show that power in his fullness. All the power that is necessary. Greater than what it took to create the world. Let him recreate your soul, taking away your sins, destroying them, and reuniting you with him, his own son or daughter. What a beautiful gift. That's the power of God that he wants to work in you.